Grace and peace be to you from our resurrected and glorious Lord, who rules the earth and the heavens, who works all things for the good of his people, who have brought us to this day, this place, that he might bless us with his holy word. Amen. Ezekiel had a very strange and difficult ministry. I can't say I'd really like to switch places with him. He was God's chosen prophet to the Israelites in the Old Testament at a time when they were out in Babylon, captives of a pagan country. Not exactly the easiest of circumstances. But not only did Ezekiel have to move from Jerusalem over to the Babylonian Empire, God had another trip in store for him. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Remarkable. Ezekiel traveled in a vision. And it was almost like the Holy Spirit just kind of grabbed a hold of him and plucked him off of the Kebar River in Babylon and plunked him down in the middle of this valley. But this wasn't a lush, green, beautiful valley filled with grapevines. And no, this was a valley of dead bones, dry bones, the slain. What's the purpose here? It looks like there had been a battle here, and all these dead bodies have long wasted away and decomposed. There's just human bones all over the place, and God's having him walk back and forth and back. And don't you realize how dirty this makes us? To be amongst dead bones? And yet that's exactly where God put him. Why? And then to top it off, God asks him the strangest of questions. Son of man, can these bones live? Is this a trick question? By everything we know on the face of this earth, there is no way that dry bones can ever see life again. And yet Ezekiel's smart enough to know his God. What are you getting at, God? What do you want me to discover in this valley? And so he says, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. I know what can happen in this human realm of mine, but your realm of the divine, of godly, is so much bigger. It defies the very laws of nature. You alone know. Can these dry, dead bones live? That's not just an academic question. The answer to that one question has eternal consequences for you and me. Can these dry, dead bones live? Before God gives us his answer to that question, maybe we ought to ask a few other questions first, like, whose bones are these that are scattered through this vision of Ezekiel? Who do they belong to? Maybe they're the dry, dead bones of all the unbelievers, those enemies of God. Hey, we live in a world where unbelievers think nothing of killing, lopping off the head of Christians, and think they're doing God a favor. We live in a world where unbelievers think, lying, cheating, scheming, that's all part of, whether it's in business or with your spouse, it's all just part of getting ahead in life. The gods of this world are passions, our desires, money, sex, whatever pleases and tantalizes us. And so wouldn't it be logical to think of this valley of dry bones as all those unbelievers who have shaken their fist at God and say, there's no room for your word in my heart and life. Wouldn't it be logical to think those are the ones God is going to strike down? But no, to our surprise, listen to who the Lord says these bones belong to. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. This valley was filled with the bones of God's chosen people. That doesn't make any sense. These are the very people to whom God has come to give life, to rescue, to bring the Messiah. And theirs are the bones, the dry, dead bones. Why? How can that happen? They thought they were so full of life when they were back in Jerusalem. But then God exiled them to Babylon. Then and only then were they starting to grasp just how lost and dead they truly were. Why were they in Babylon to begin with? Why was God's anger turned toward them? Well, a chapter earlier in Ezekiel's prophecy, God tells us. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, when the people of Israel were living in their own land, they defiled it by their conduct and their action. So I poured out my wrath on them because they had shed blood in the land and because they had defiled it with their idols. I dispersed them among the nations and they were scattered through the countries. I judged them according to their conduct and their actions. And wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name. For it was said of them, these are the Lord's people. And yet they had to leave his land. Why were they nothing but dry bones? Because there was no room for God's word in their hearts and in their lives. They loved their idols. It is no small thing to profane the name of the Lord, to defile ourselves with our own acts and conduct. This whole situation played itself out again at Jesus' day when the Pharisees were so filled with their own righteousness, they had no room for the Messiah. He was standing right in front of them and they denounced him. Jesus called those Pharisees whitewashed tombs. Oh, so pretty and religious on the outside. But inside they were filled with dead men's bones. These chosen Israelites who should have known better, should have been so filled with life, were so filled with death. And that's a warning for you and me too. A warning for us in our day and age. If we're living in unrepentant sin, then we will end up as nothing more than a bag of spiritually dead bones. We will forfeit the grace God has provided for us. It'll be as though we were never believers to begin with, helpless and cut off from the Lord. And God's people in our day and age are tempted to make the same mistake as Ezekiel's day and age and Jesus' day and age. What really defiles the name of the Lord isn't the unbelieving world. We expect the unbelieving world to act like unbelievers. It's when God's people have no room for his word in their hearts and lives. When God's word is no longer preached in his churches, and God's people no longer live by the light of his word and his will, and treat him as something you can take when you want and leave when you want. How sad these days are in the Christian church. We need to mourn and weep and wail at the treatment Christians have given to our almighty and holy God. And maybe we even need to mourn, weep, and wail over our treatment of our Heavenly Father, spurning his grace and favor. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, we pray, send out your Holy Spirit. Lord, send out your Holy Spirit throughout our churches that there might be a true spirit of repentance and grief and renouncing our waywardness, that we might return to the Lord and his holy word. Send out your Holy Spirit as you did of old, so in these days too. But the surprising thing about this vision of Ezekiel is he didn't pick up Ezekiel and plant him down in this valley of bones just to show Ezekiel his anger over sin. No, just the opposite. Ezekiel was walking along these bones because God was going to show him his mercy over his rebellious people. What did he tell Ezekiel to do? Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Remarkable. Ezekiel, say my words and watch the miracle that comes. He repeated what the Lord told him to say, and all of a sudden there's a holy rattling. The Holy Spirit came and bone joined to bone, and there was tendons and there was flesh and there was skin, and he prophesied again, and the Holy Spirit came and breathed life into these dead corpses, and they stood up a vast army. Wow, what a vision. But what does it mean? God is his own interpreter. God tells him, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. The nation of Israel was not a dead nation. God had plans for them. He was still to bring the Messiah out of that nation. They would live and thrive purely through the mercy and grace of their Heavenly Father. He would bring them back a life. The only reason we're here today is because the Holy Spirit has reached out and brought life into our dead bones. He has touched us with his holy grace. Have you ever thought of your conversion, your coming to faith, as a picture with these dry bones? Because God has spoken through his prophet, we are now alive in Christ and have a faith we never would have had if the Holy Spirit had not come through that glorious word. God has spoken his word of grace upon us. To begin with, either at the baptismal font or from another Christian who shared the wonders of Jesus' sacrificial death and his glorious resurrection. Now, on our human side of it, it might not have been so spectacular as this valley of dry bones and all of a sudden these people coming to life. But it's nonetheless a miracle. Harrison was baptized this morning. And from our human side, we didn't see all kinds of rattling of bones and all kinds of miracles. And yet the Word of God promises us whoever is baptized will receive the Holy Spirit, will be born anew, will be washed clean of their sins. And while we don't see too much transpiring on our human side, oh, the miracle that God brings. Every time we listen to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is right there to work his good and gracious will to draw us to himself, to either create faith or strengthen that faith, that he might touch us and grow us and strengthen us and fill us with his sevenfold gifts. God has gracious plans, and he does it all through his Word. And so we sit back and rejoice. Pour out your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, in greater, even greater numbers this day, in greater measure. As we live in end times and the darkness and evil of this world would like to destroy Christianity, destroy your word and the proclamation, so rise up ever more, Holy Spirit. Bring more and more people by the thousands upon thousands to faith and strengthen those who are already in your fold, that we might stand up as a vast army, Just as you brought your Israelites back to Jerusalem in your power and your grace and favor, and just as you poured out your Holy Spirit at Pentecost and that glorious gospel fountain spilled over the banks of Judah and flooded every nation in this world, so in these end times, in these bitter times, in these dangerous times, Holy Spirit, come to us in ever greater measure that we might stand and trumpet your glorious gospel. Come, Holy Spirit, that we might understand your word page after page, that we might trust your promises with all of our heart and soul, that we might joyfully proclaim that to the four corners of this world, to every starving soul we can reach and meet. And Holy Spirit, that we might truly live by your light and not in the darkness of this world. Come, Holy Spirit, work your good and gracious will. And what is God's will for us? He told Ezekiel, "Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord." Our God is the Lord, in all capital letters, for the Hebrew name Yahweh, Jehovah. That's the name God married to himself with all of his covenant promises. That's the name he wanted to be known by. Why did God do all this? Why does God bring us from death to life? Why does he keep on sending out his Holy Spirit to convict us of Christ's atoning sacrifice is now spells salvation for me? Why does God do all this? Simply because of his name. He made a promise, a solemn promise. He bound it to his name. As sure as he's the Lord God Almighty, he is going to ransom and rescue all people from their sins, and that is what he has done. We don't deserve it. We haven't done anything good that he should have a thought for us, and yet his enormous love for us and his solemn oath upon his name. And those who are his know him by that name, the Lord, the covenant God, the one who has saved us by the blood of his one and only Son and has brought his Holy Spirit to create us anew. He is the one. And there is none other, no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And we don't need any other. He's the one who has raised us to life and give us a new reality. And so now we are his vast army of the living ones who live in his grace and favor and for his will. Oh, Holy Spirit, bless us. Pour out an abundant measure on all your people that peace and that power that this world knows nothing of. To you be our thanks and favor now and forevermore. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Merciful Lord, gracious God, our times are in your hands. How blessed we are that you have called us to be the children of God, that you've walked clean in your Son's own blood, and you have sent your Holy Spirit to make us your temples, creating us anew, giving us faith in Jesus as our one and only Savior. To you be our thanks and praise. May we live for your glory, now and always. Amen.